Okay, before we begin, I would just like to thank our series sponsors. Thank you to Jennifer and David Miller, who sponsored this series, commemorating the art site of Rachel Sharetz Aleha HaShalom. In advance of the holiday of Matan Torah, I thought it would be appropriate to do a series on the Aseres HaDibros. Now, of course, a three-part sheer series on 10 Dibros is not particularly effective. So what we decided to do instead is we're going to focus on the first of the Aseres HaDibros, and hopefully next year we'll have an opportunity to do the second, the third, the fourth. If you renew my contract, we can do the fifth and sixth and seventh as well. And this year we'll focus on the first of the Aseres HaDibros. And the first of the Aseres HaDibros is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. Hashem informs the Jewish people in the moment when the Jewish people are standing around Har Sinai, I am Hashem your God. I am the God who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim, where you were slaves. Ari, if I could have a source sheet as well, that would be greatly appreciated. And the first question that we want to explore tonight over the course of this three-part series pertaining to this first Dibra is whether or not there is a mitzvah to believe in God. Now, of course, the question is a little bit shocking. I remember it was somebody who commented, someone commented to me, is there more than a one-word answer to that question? Is there a mitzvah to believe in God? But surprisingly, we find that there is actually a nuanced debate over the question of whether or not there is a mitzvah to believe in God. And of course, insofar as belief in God is quite central to Jewish faith, it's perhaps the most central tenet. Of course, it is the most central tenet of monotheistic faith. One has to examine this whole question of whether or not there is a mitzvah and try to determine what exactly the theological underpinnings of it are, as well as what it tells us about belief and about mitzvos in general. So again, I want to explore that question tonight, and hopefully we'll have a better understanding about what exactly the expectation of this first of the Aseres HaDibros is. And I want to start with a simple reading of the Psukim. The Psukim that appear in source number 1 in Shemos Parakaf, which is a presentation of the Aseres HaDibros as it is presented in Parshas Yisro. Of course, the Aseres HaDibros are presented twice in the Torah. The first time is in Parshas Yisro in Sefer Shemos, later in Sefer Devarim when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his recap of all that transpired during the sojourn through the wilderness. He talks about the experience of Matan Torah again, and there is another presentation of the Aseres HaDibros. Many of the Dibros that are presented in both places are identical. Some of them are different. There are some famous differences between them in the context of Shabbos. We have Zachor versus Shamor. We have Lo Sachmod versus Lo Sisaveh. There are nuanced differences between them, but we'll focus for tonight on the first presentation of the Aseres HaDibros in again, Parshas Yisro, Shemos, Perekhaf. Let's begin just by reading the Psukim themselves together. We'll just read and translate, and we'll see if there's anything that stands out as interesting or unique with this first of the Aseres HaDibros. We start with Pasuk Aleph. Vayidaber Elokim es kol ha-dvarim ha'ila le'mor. Hashem spoke all of these things, saying. Now the truth is, that formulation and that pasuk itself is worthy of exploration, but we want to focus on what comes next. What does Hashem begin? You have this moment of mass revelation. This is the pinnacle of all of human history, the moment when God is revealing himself to mankind, and of course to Klal Yisrael in particular. And it starts with the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim, who took you out of the land of Egypt, where you from slavery. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. You shall not have any other gods aside from me. Lo sa'asa lecha fesal v'chol temunah asher b'shamayim mima'al v'asher ba'aretz mitachas. Don't create any engraved images, that anything from the heavens above. Don't create images or models of the celestial images of anything that you see below you on the ground. V'asher b'mayim mitachas la'aretz. Don't go around looking at your surroundings, whether it be, again, the heavens, the earth, the seas, to create all sorts of idolatry, etc. Don't bow down to them, don't serve them, etc. And then if you skip down to Pasuk Vav, it's a further description of Hashem. Pasuk Zayin, lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav. That's the second to last line there. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. And then Pasuk Ches, zachor es yom HaShabbos lekadoshav, etc. The remainder of the Aseres HaDibros follow after Pasuk Ches. Now, if we just turn back to that very second line in source number one, is there anything that stands out? It could be anything. I think there are a couple of subtle things that certainly stand out that make this Dibra unique from others. Yeah?
The Pasuk says that Hashem is your God, and then he refers to the last part of the Pasuk. It sounds as if there are other gods, but I should be your God.
Okay, so I think when it says, Lo yelecha Elohim acherim, it doesn't mean you should not, there are other gods, you should not accept them. It's saying, recognize the reality that there is only one God. You could have said that as an ambiguity with the lashon of the pasuk, but I think it's a direct extension of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem. There are no other gods, and certainly, again, you should not be worshiping other gods. Okay, good. So you don't have a prohibition or a demand. Now, the first thing that I think stands out, at least to me, and clearly to others as well, is that you don't have any what we would call lashon tzivoy in this commandment. There's no command here. It's a statement of fact. It doesn't say, believe that I am Hashem. It doesn't say, accept me as Hashem. It says, I am Hashem. Now, if you look at each of the other Aseres HaDibros, they have a clear imperative. There's either don't do something, lo yiyalecha Elohim achirim, lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav, or there is an act, a command, do something. Zachor es yom haShabbos l'kadoshav. You commemorate the Shabbos. Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha. Respect and honor your parents. There's a clear action item associated and tied to each of the other Aseres HaDibros, whereas when you look at this one, you will see that is just Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It is just a statement. Now, of course, if we're filing in the back of our minds the title of our shiur tonight, which is whether or not there is a mitzvah to believe in God, the fact that there is no statement in the Aseres HaDibros that says believe will potentially be an important piece of data when we look at the Rishonim and their debate as to whether or not this actually constitutes a mitzvah imperative. Anything else?
It's very limiting. First of all, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, as opposed to Anochi Hashem.
Okay.
It's also limiting as opposed to saying that created the world and made things.
Great. So we're gonna focus on both of those points. David notes, instead of saying Anochi Hashem Elokim, you have this odd formulation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is I am your God. It's not I am Hashem who is God, who is master of the universe in the most generic and abstract sense, which is certainly true. God is the master of the universe. It is I am Hashem your God, Elokecha. And it's that also not formulated as, even if you were going to say, I'm Hashem your God, it could have said, Ani Hashem Elo Kechem. But instead, it formulates it in the singular of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So certainly when we get to our last source for Rav Hirsch, that's going to be a critical piece of data. That's going to be a critical piece of information in terms of how we're properly supposed to understand this mitzvah. Number two, another limiting factor, which is also noted by the Rishonim, is again, it's these are psukim that I think we're very much familiar with. We know the Aseres HaDibros in a vague and general sense. We hear them length twice a year. Sometimes when you have familiarity with psukim, you have to force yourself to stop and reconsider them and think about them again. What is this Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? What is this, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt? A far greater statement would it be, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the creator of all that is. I am the source of existence. There is no existence outside of me. And yet we have this very almost limiting and particular statement about the Exodus from Egypt. I am Hashem that took you out of Mitzrayim. And we will see once again our Mefarshim debate why exactly, offer different explanations for why exactly we have this formulation. Anything else?
Kind of like a similar point is that it's the only one that we see here that's based on an event pattern. So even if we would say that based on an event,
that has kind of historical reference, and it's just a statement. It's just an imperative, right? I think it largely dovetails the same point. But yes, I think the point is worthwhile and well taken. And again, it's something that we will certainly come back to. Now, the last point is again a little more subtle. It's really for more of the Baalei Kriya. Anyone in Valkorah? Who are the Baalei Kriya here? I'm looking around the room. No one? Okay, so I'm going to call them out. This Kashavis, I'm going to call them out for not being here at the shir when I needed a little help. So I'm a Baal Korei. You'll note it's really recorded in the way these psukim are presented in the source itself. Look at again, it's subtle, but look at the beginning of each pasuk, or maybe pasuk is the wrong word. You'll see it is pasuk aleph, and then in parentheses on the second line it says beis dash gimel, right? Beis dash gimel. The two psukim are presented together. Now this gets into a more nuanced kriya point of what's known as Ta'am Elyon, where there's a special kriya that we use for the Aseres HaDibros. There's a special trup that we use when we're reading the Aseres HaDibros in public, which is distinct from the recorded notes that are in the Chumash for when you're reading it in private. Now what we try to do in the Aseres HaDibros, broadly speaking, is we try to group or we try to have each of the Dibros presented as a sole and independent unit. And that could work in different ways. Sometimes you end up with a lot of psukim that are joined together. There are several psukim that describe Shabbos, so we have one long description of Shabbos in the Aseres HaDibros, right? Jay, you're a Balkore. So there, a little bit. So in other instances, we'll break up a pasuk. Lo tirtzach, lo tenaf, lo tignov. We have these three dibros. Each one is only two words. So when we're trying to read them in the Torah, even though each one is only two words, we treat each one as an independent pasuk as far as the laning goes. If you look at the first of the Aseret Dibros, it's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzichah Me'eretz Yisrael Beis Avadim, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Apanai, Lo Saselecha Pesel V'chol Temunah. It goes directly from number one into number two. You have this link between the first of the Aseret Dibros and the second of the Aseret HaDibros, that they kind of constitute the single unit. Now again, if we're talking about whether it's a separate mitzvah, the fact that we're almost treating it as a preface to the second of the Aseret HaDibros perhaps makes a statement about its independent character and status versus its role in kind of leading to the remainder of the Aseret HaDibros. So these are all just questions just from the Psukim themselves. And again, we will see how the different Rishonim and Mefarshim take these various observations that we collectively made in terms of interpreting these Psukim. Really, when you just stop for a moment to look at the psukim themselves, you realize that this first of the Aseret HaDibros is filled with all sorts of ambiguity, and it's rather cryptic. And that's why we do end up with these debates regarding its definition and its ramifications. Now, before we go into the particular debates, I also want to note two comments of Chazal in the Mechilta. So you look, sources 2 and 3 are comments of Chazal in the Medrash and the Mechilta commenting on these psukim. They're really two juxtaposed or consecutive paragraphs or parshios in the Mechilta. And each provides a mashal, each provides a kind of analogy or metaphor for what exactly is happening at this in the beginning of these Aseret HaDibros. So let's just, again, read the metaphors that are provided by the Mechilta because they will feature significantly in the analysis of the Rishonim of this mitzvah. Take a look at source number 2. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. V'pnei ma lo ne'amru Aseret HaDibros b'tchilas HaTorah. The Mechilta here starts with a question. These are the Aseret HaDibros. This is the key. This is the core of it all. This is the moment of divine revelation to mankind. Why do we have a whole Sefer Bereishis and a whole half of Sefer Shemos that are preceding this moment? Just start with the Aseret HaDibros. So the Mechilta answers, Mashlu Mashlu Ma'adavar Domeh. We can offer a metaphor to explain why we don't start with the Aseret HaDibros. What is the metaphor? La'echot she'nichnas b'medina. Somebody comes to a province, a country, a state. Second line, Amar lahem emloch aleichem. He just declares, I am going to be your ruler. I am here to rule. Amrulo, they reply, Klom asisa lanu tova shetim loch aleinu. Who made you the boss? Who elected you? Who made you our king? Ma asa, what did he do? Banu lahem esachoma. So he starts engaging in civic projects. He builds a wall around the town. Hiknas lahem esamayim. He makes sure that they have a clean water supply. Asa lahem milchamos. He fights their battles. He leads their battles. He fights their wars. Amar lahem emloch aleichem. And then he comes to them and says, now, make me your ruler. At that point, amru lo hein v'hein. At that point, they recognize, you know what? You are indeed our fearless leader. We are willing to follow you. You are indeed entitled to rule. And the Gemara, the Mechilta, I'm sorry, applies the obvious nimshal, the parallel. So too, Hashem first took the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Kara lahem es hayam, second to last line, he split the sea for them. Horid lahem es aman. Ha'elo lahem es ha'be'er. Higiz lahem es ha'slav. Az lahem lachem es ha'malek. He provides for them, he gives them food, he gives them water, he fights their battles for them. Amar lahem emloch aleich, amar lohein vehin. So then he declares, Anochi Hashem elokecha. It's at that moment he says, I'm going to rule over you, I'm going to be your king, your God. And then at that point they're ready to accept, because of all that they had experienced. Of course, the Medrash is already building on some of the observations, subtly building on some of the observations that we ourselves made. There's a historical context here. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Medrash doesn't call it out. It doesn't signal to you that it's picking up on a particular anomaly in the text itself. But quite clearly, when you engage in that textual analysis and then you look at the Medrash, you realize that it is clearly commenting on some of the anomalies in the Pesukim. And then we have source number 3. Mechilta Parsha Vav. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. You shall not have other gods. Lama ne'emar. Why does it say this? V'fisha ne'emar anochi Hashem alokecha. It already said anochi Hashem alokecha. So what is happening here? Once again, we have a mashal after the period on the first line of source number 3. Mashal l'melech basar v'dam shenichnas l'medina. We once again have a king, and he comes to a province, a country. Amru lo avadav. Second line. His servants say to him, Kazora Lam Xeros, start the business of governing, start making laws, start making rules. Tell them what exactly they need to do, tell them what they're not allowed to do. Do your job. Amr Laham Lav. He says, I'm not just going to show up here and start making rules and laws and telling them what they must do, telling them what they can't do. That's not how I'm going to operate here. Rather, kisha yakablu es malchusi. When they accept my sovereignty, when they accept the fact that I'm the ruler, then exor aleihem gzeros. Then I'll start the business of governing. Then I'll start making laws. Shem malchusi lo yakablu, because if they don't accept the legitimacy of my sovereignty, gzerosai lo yakablu, they're not going to accept my laws. They're not going to observe my laws. Second to bottom line of source number three, after the period, third word. Kach amar hamakom liYisrael, so too Hashem says to the Bnei Yisrael, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then Lo Yihya Elohim Acherim. First, I am Hashem your God. In other words, accept my sovereignty, and then I will start giving you the laws and dictates that define the spiritual content of Torah that will teach you how to lead a meaningful moral and spiritual life. Amar Lahem, Anihu, Shekibalta Machusi Aleichem Bemitzrayim, last line of source number three. I am He whose sovereignty and rulership you accepted when I took you out of Mitzrayim. Amru lo kein, they said yes, they acknowledge, you are Hashem, our God. U'kashem shekibalta malchusi aleichem, just like you accepted my sovereignty, now kiblu gzeirosai, accept my laws as well. Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai, and then Hashem begins dictating all the laws of the Torah, starting with the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, and moving forward to the remainder of the Aseret HaDibros. So we have these two metaphors for what is happening here, a description of the first two Aseret HaDibros, both pertaining to the sovereignty of the Ribono Shel Olam, our acceptance of that sovereignty, and then moving on to the Gezeros, to the laws that subsequently follow. Yes? Okay. But again, this is something that we will perhaps circle back to a little bit later, and perhaps this builds on some of the other observations that we were making a moment ago. But this is Hashem talking to the Bnei Yisrael. He's not talking to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's true that their forefathers accepted Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but here it's even more direct and more personal. He's saying, you accepted, in a literal sense, not you in a national sense. You accepted my sovereignty when I took you out of Mitzrayim, right? This was the door that left Mitzrayim. This is the generation that left Mitzrayim. And they are accepting his sovereignty. Now, is this a mitzvah or not? So the Rambam, in source number 4, indeed counts this as a mitzvah. And not only does he count it as a mitzvah, you will look, Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos HaSeh, Aleph. It is the first of the mitzvahs. Is that surprising? Of course it's not surprising. If you would ask me to compose a Sefer HaMitzvos, that's probably what I wouldn't say I would come up with everything the Rambam came up with, but this one I probably could have figured out myself. To include belief in Hashem as the very first mitzvah in the Torah. Now mind you, the Rambam does not organize his Sefer HaMitzvos Keseder HaParshios. The Sefer HaChinuch, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is another popular counting of the 613 mitzvos. He organized his Sefer on the basis of the Parshios themselves. So the first mitzvos are the ones that appear in Sefer Bereishis, and it's sequential in the order of the Torah. The Rambam didn't do that. The Rambam took his own sequence of the mitzvos, and therefore it's often important to think about how the Rambam structures things and why he sequences things the way he does. Now in this instance, it's no mystery, it's no wonder. The Rambam chooses Anochi Hashem Elokecha as the very first mitzvah because it is the foundation of all. Take a look at what he says in source number 4. We'll look at how the Rambam presents it in the Sefer HaMitzvos in source number 4, and how he presents it in the Mishnah Torah in sources number 5 and sources number 6. We're not going to get so much into this right now, maybe a little bit more next week. But let's just take a look at the language here and see if there are any notable discrepancies between the Rambam's presentation in these two sources. Source number 4. HaMitzvah HaRishona, what is the very first mitzvah? Ki HaTzivoy Asher Tzivanu L'Ha'amin HaElokus. It is the command to believe in God. And what is that? What does that constitute? What is that? Bold of source number 4. Hu shenamin sheyesham ola v'siba hu poel l'chol hanimtzaos hu amri yisbarach anochi Hashem Elokecha. You need to believe in essentially a creator, a first primal being that created everything. He is the source of all existence. That is the mitzvah of belief, as recorded in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now, interestingly, the Rambam brings almost a proof to the character of this mitzvah. Give me a second on. Look at what the Rambam says next. Source number 4, second line after the period. Uvsof Gemara Makos. At the end of Mesechus Makos, the Rambam here quotes a famous Gemara. Amru Taryag Mitzvos Namru Lo Moshe Misinai. There were 613 mitzvos given to Moshe at Sinai. This is actually one of the Gemaras that tells us this whole notion of 613 mitzvos. We're all familiar with that idea, but it comes from a Gemara, and this is one of the Gemaras that serves as the sources. So Mikra, what's the hint to this notion of 613? Torah Tzivo Lanu Moshe. The Gemara actually gives a gematria. It's almost shocking that the whole source of Taryag mitzvos, the 613 mitzvos, is a gematria. Indeed, the Ramban, in his opening to his commentary on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, considers the possibility that according to some, there are more than 613 mitzvos. Who says that everybody agrees with this gematria? He ultimately rejects that. And he says, it seems clear, it's so common, such a common refrain in our Torah literature, it must be that there was some kind of received transmission, that there were 613. But it's interesting to consider the fact that the source here is a gematria. So what is a gematria? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, that Torah was given to Moshe, kilomar minyan Torah. The number Torah. What does the number Torah equal? 611. V'hikshu al zeh, Torah b'gematria hafiyu, shismeya b'chadusay havai. You just told me there are 613 mitzvahs. I can do basic math. Torah equals 611. So what's the answer? V'haysa hachuva, anochi v'lo yihyam yipiak v'ura shema'am. The first two were given by Hashem himself. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe gave us 611. The first two were given by Hashem himself. You see from here that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is one of the 613. Now, what is the Rambam doing with this whole reference to the Gemara? Why is he bringing this Gemara in the first place? The Rambam doesn't just bring random Gemaras in the Sefer HaMitzvos.
It just wasn't put in a commandment
form. So what you see the Rambam is doing here is he's almost justifying counting it as one of the 613. You see that the Rambam is already sensitive to the fact, and we'll see the Bahag, who came earlier than the Rambam, did not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha as one of the 613 mitzvos. He did not count it among his Taryag. The Rambam is cognizant of that reality, he's aware of that, and already from the very beginning, he's bringing you a proof that Anochi Hashem Elokecha needs to be counted. Now again, it's almost shocking. Why does the Rambam need to bring a proof for Anochi Hashem Elokecha? He doesn't bring a proof for holding Dalad Minim on Sukkis or for eating matzah on Pesach. But here, he feels it necessary to actually prove that it's one of the 613. That's the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos. Now, what about a Mishnah Torah? So, source number 5 is what we call the Koteret Hilchos Historia Torah. Whenever the Rambam begins a section of Halachos, he starts by recording all of the mitzvos that will appear in that section of his Mishnah Torah. He tells you, here are the mitzvos that are going to appear, and we call that the Koteret. Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah literally means the foundations of Torah. It is the very beginning, the very opening of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And what are the mitzvos there? Source number 5. Hilchos Historia Torah. Yesh Bechlolon Eser Mitzvos. Sheish Mitzvos Aseh. V'arba Mitzvos Lo Saseh. There are 6 Mitzvos Aseh. 4 Mitzvos Lo Saseh. V'zehu Pirton. Here are the details. Leida Sheyesh Shem Eloka. To know that there is a God. Now I hear turning. Before you turn. Are there any differences between source number 4 and source number 5 in terms of the Rambam's presentation? If you look in source number 4, the verb that the Rambam uses is na'amin. That's the word that we usually use for faith in God, the word emunah. In source number 5, what is the word that the Rambam uses? Leida, to know. Is there a difference between knowing and believing? Perhaps there is. And why does the Rambam choose those different formulations? Now, of course, there's a methodological point here to be aware of. When we note a difference between the language of the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, what methodological background do we need to bear in mind? What language did the Rambam write the Mishnah Torah in? Hebrew. What language did he write the Sefer Mitzvos in? In Arabic. So we're dealing with a translation. And there are indeed some, apparently Rav Chaim Heller, I heard this from Mauri Farabi, Rav Rosenzweig, said that apparently there are some who question whether the word, the original Arabic word, indeed means emunah. Apparently it is a word that can alternately be translated either as emunah, faith, or as yediyah. And then of course the question becomes, is it just an error in translation? Or was there a deliberate intent on part of the Rambam in choosing a word that can actually mean one or the other? But again, perhaps that's more of a topic for next week. If you turn to source number 6, the Rambam defines this in further detail. Source number 6, Halacha Aleph. This is the opening to the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. He begins with the word Yesod, HaYesodos, V'amud HaChachmos. Of course, many have pointed out that the Rashi tables of those first four words are Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey. Yesod, HaYesodos, V'amud HaChachmos, the central foundation of faith, the pillar of all wisdom. Leida, again, that critical word to know. Sheisham Matzoy Rishon, V'humamtzi Kol Nimtza, Cholam Nitzam, Yishamayim Ba'aretz, V'mashe Be'neim, L'nimtzu, Elam Amitas, Hamtza'el. To know that there is a primal creator, his existence is a necessary existence. The Rambam here is getting into already deeply philosophical language. He's saying that God's existence is necessary. Everything else that exists has a contingent existence. Again, we don't need to get into the definition of all these terms, whether in Aristotelian language or in modern philosophy, you call it modal language. But the Rambam is saying that you need to believe in this primal creator from whom all existence emanates. God exists, all other existence is contingent on his existence. He goes on to say, "Bimyala al-tashu eino matzui palalach beiz, ein davar achar yachol himatzos." Without his existence, nothing else can exist. And again, he begins to define some of the basic categories of philosophical belief in God. And then, at the very end, if you look at halacha vav, to the bold part of source number 6, "V'yedias davar zeh," and knowing this, "Mitzvas aseh," is a mitzvah aseh, "Shene'emar anochi Hashem elokecha," as the Torah says, "Anochi Hashem elokecha." The Rambam makes it very clear that this is indeed a mitzvah. Done.
That's why it says no kishon l'kekashon seems to be in China. It's an experiential leda. It's something that you actually experience. And therefore, it's you know, so it's not believed because I created the world, which obviously, you know, that's emuna and a story. But here it is. It's leda because you actually experience it.
Okay, good. I like what you're saying a lot, and we're going to circle back to it. I don't think the Rambam indicates that, right? The Rambam talks about, when the Rambam describes belief in Hashem, he's talking in very high-level philosophical, theological terms. He's not saying believe because of our personal relationship. He's not saying believe because I took you out of Mitzrayim. He's introducing belief in terms of, again, and this is almost expected from the Rambam, right? The Rambam himself was the paradigmatic Jewish philosopher, if you will. And he has this cerebral description of belief that one is obligated to engage in order to properly perform the mitzvah. That's the Rambam. Any other questions before we go further? Okay. As I noted, the major Baal Plugta, if you will, the major figure who disagrees with the Rambam on this is the Bahag. And instead of looking and see the Bahag inside, we're going to see it through the prism and lens of the Ramban. Source number 7 is the Ramban's Hasagos on the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban wrote a commentary on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, where he noted all the areas where he disagrees with the Rambam's analysis. Now, something that's interesting about the Ramban is that the Ramban had a very conservative, if you will, tendency when it came to previous authorities of halacha. In other words, the Ramban felt that part of his mission in life was to defend earlier halachic authorities, even when he didn't agree with them. So the Rambam, for example, often attacks the Bahag and his count of the Tayag Mitzvos. The Bahag didn't know what he was talking about. He messed up here, he messed up there. The Ramban will marshal all of his intellectual resources to come to the Bahag's defense. Even as he will say at the end, despite everything I just told you, I really agree with the Rambam. The Rambam was really right. I don't think the Bahag was correct, but I'm going to defend the Bahag, and this is what he would say in defense, in light of the Rambam's attacks. Another famous instance that he did this was for the Rif. There was a Sefer HaMa'or, Rabbi Zerachya Halevi, was one of the great Rishonim from the 12th century and the 13th century. And the Ramban, and he attacked the Rif. The Rif was one of the great figures of the Rishonim in the 10th century, in the 900s, really one of the early, very early Rishonim. And he had this larger-than-life stature among the other Rishonim. And he wrote this halachic work, which appears in the back of every Gemara, which is the Rif's commentary on the Gemara. It's really just a concise, abridged version of the Gemara. The Baal HaMa'or, in many instances, and he wrote it at a young age, I think he was 19 or something like that, when he wrote his commentary on the Rif, wrote a commentary in which he attacked the Rif and the Rif's stance on many issues. And the Ramban was totally scandalized by that. He felt it was terrible. So he had that such a young person would attack the Rif. So he wrote a response. I think he was 16 when he wrote his response or something like that. So he was also young when he wrote his response. He wrote a response defending the Rif. Now, very often the Ramban will say, by the way, at the end of his whole spirited defense of the Rif, by the way, the Baal HaMa'or is really right. I think the Baal HaMa'or is correct, but he defends the Rif. And this is what the Ramban does here as well. We're going to see that he defends the Bahag, but he adopts an approach that is more similar to the Rambam. It's not exactly the Rambam, and the differences between them are going to be critical for us, but it is more similar to the Rambam. But let's start by seeing his defense of the Bahag. Take a look at source number 7. We'll just read some highlights from this passage. Amar HaKosev, the Ramban begins by saying, Ha'emuna hazos b'dibur hazeh, lo nefles hi v'lo rechol kahi. The belief that is described in this dibra, lo nefles hi v'lo rechol kahi. It's not foreign from you, it's not distant. Where's that language from? Where is it? It's Parshas Netzavim. When Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the Bnei Israel, right? He says, the Torah is, it's not distant from you, it's not foreign from you, it's not me'ever layam, it's not across the ocean, it's not in the Shamayim, it's beficha uvelvavacha la'asoso, it's in your hearts, it's in your mouths, you are ready to do it. The Ramban references that in the context of Emunah. Interestingly, the Ramban himself, in the context of those psukim, says it is a reference to what?
To tshuva.
But here, he describes it as Emunah. That's a fascinating point unto itself. The relationship between those two concepts, Emunah and Tshuva. But here the Ramban references, it says that it's a reference to Emunah. Here the languages are already, the Lashon of the Ramban, the words that he chooses are critical. He says, our Chazal already told us, our rabbis told us, Shu Kabbalas Malchuso, that it is accepting his sovereignty. Now, did the Rambam use the language Kabbalas Malchuso? Rambam did not use that language. And in my mind, that's quite significant. The Ramban says, you accept the sovereignty of Hashem, and that is this mitzvah of Emunah. He goes on to describe some of its details, but let's just skip to the bold passages for his presentation of the Hag. He says, I already saw that the Baal HaLachos, the Hag, the Baal HaLachos Kedolos, did not count this as one of the 613. How is that conceivable? How can you not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha? So the Ramban offers an explanation. Skip to the second bold passage of source number 7. Behanira midaito, it appears, this must be what he intended. Shalabala halachos she'ein minyan taryag mitzvos. Sorry. Behanira midaito shalabala halachos she'ein minyan taryag mitzvos elogzeirosov yis'ala she'gozar aleinu la'asos omananu shalo na'asa. According to the Bahag, the count of the 613 mitzvot needs to be confined specifically to gzeros. Where do we see that word gzeros? In the Mechilta, right? You see the Ramban is already referencing the Mechilta that we saw before. It has to be specific commands, things that he tells you to do or things that he tells you not to do. Abal ha'emuno b'mitziyuso yisala. But just belief in his existence. Shehodia osa aleinu b'osa supumbosum v'gilui hashchino la'inenu. The fact that he revealed himself through great signs and wonders, through great miracles in our past. V'gilu yashchina le'enenu, through this mass revelation at Har Sinai. Who, three lines up from the bottom, ha'ikar v'hashoresh shemimenu noldu ha'mitzvos lo yimana v'cheshbon. It is the foundation, it is the source, it is the root of the 613 mitzvos. It is not one of them. What the Ramban is arguing for the Bahag is essentially, belief in God is so central, it's so critical, it's so important, that it can't even be included among the 613 mitzvot. And obviously, the 613 mitzvot are dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam, as we would say in Talmudic parlance. They are sacred, they're great, they're divine, but even the 613 mitzvot can't rise to the elite stature, the sublime status of this imperative of belief. It is so central, it is so core, it's so foundational, that it can't even be included as one of the mitzvot. They build upon it. And what does he quote to prove this? Take a look at again. This is three lines from the bottom of source number 7, after the period. And this is what Chazal meant when they said, Amru lo gzor aleihem gzeros, where the servants say to the ruler, give them gzeros. Gzeros right now, for the Ramban, is equivalent to what other word? We could instead use the word mitzvos. Amar lahem lav. He says, I'm not yet going to give them gzeros. I'm not yet going to give them mitzvos. Kisha yekablu malchusi egzor aleihem gzeros. When they accept my sovereignty, then at that point, I will create laws. I will create gzeros. Asu kabbalas amalchus inyan bipnei atzma. Vehem mitzvos hanegzeros me oso yis'ale me inyan acher. In the Mechilta, acceptance of Hashem is described as its own entity, its own category. It precedes gzeros, it precedes laws, it precedes mitzvos, and therefore it should not be counted among them. And we find this among others as well. If you look at the Ibn Ezra, this is just a passing comment of the Ibn Ezra in source number 8. He says, the Ibn Ezra starts his commentary on the Esaras HaDibros by posing a whole set of questions on the Esaras HaDibros and the Torah's presentation of them. And he says in source number 8, V'yesh lishol, one might ask, How can we include Anochi Hashem Elokecha in the Aseres HaDibros? Kihu ha-mitzvah, v'hine einena mitzvah saseh, v'lo mitzvah lo saseh. The Aseres HaDibros are mitzvos. This Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he's picking up on the same exact point that we started with. It's not a mitzvah saseh, it doesn't tell you to do anything. It's not a mitzvah lo saseh, it doesn't prohibit anything. So why is this included? And we end up with a debate as to whether or not Anochi Hashem Elokecha should be included as a mitzvah. Now those stances, that of the Rambam and the Bahag, are pretty straightforward. The Rambam says it is a mitzvah, the Bahag says it is not a mitzvah, it's so central, it's so core and foundational that it cannot be counted as a mitzvah. What interests me more for tonight is the opinion of the Ramban. The opinion of the Ramban, which we started seeing in source number 7, is in my mind slightly more subtle than either extreme of the Bahag and the Rambam. And it's that shita that I think forces us to re-examine this mitzvah in its entirety and properly understand its relevance in day-to-day Jewish life. At the very end of his commentary on mitzvah Aleph, what we saw in source number 7, that's only part of the Ramban's commentary there, it's a short passage of it, the Ramban references his comments on lo sa'aseh he, the fifth of the prohibitions, mitzvot lo sa'aseh in the Rambam. What is lo sa'aseh he? Take a look at source number 9. It is the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, the second of the Aseres HaDibros. And commenting on that, the Ramban says as follows. Turn to source number 10. He first gives a whole commentary on the Rambam's treatment of Avodah Zarah itself. But then he returns back to his discussion of the mitzvah of belief. After defending the Bahag from the attacks of the Rambam, he says, I explain to you why the Bahag maintains that it's not a mitzvah. He turns around and says, as I implied earlier, I actually agree with the Rambam. Look at source number 10. V'hato be'enai b'zeh inyan. If you're asking what my personal opinion is on this, I think, b'zeh inyan kulo, shenimna anochi Hashem Elokecha mitzvah k'ma'amar harav. As much as I defended the Bahag, as much as I understand where he's coming from, as much as I'll give you a logical justification for it, I personally think it actually should be counted, like the Rambam. And now here's what's startling. V'yesh li raya b'zeh. He says, I have a proof. Midivrei Chachamim, from Chazal. Amru b'mechilta. The Mechilta says, Mipnei malo ne'emru aseres adibros maschelas haTorah. Why doesn't the Torah start from the aseres adibros themselves? Mashlo mashlo ma'adavar domeh. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a metaphor for why the Torah does not begin with the Aseres HaDibros. And what is the metaphor? We know what the metaphor is. Echad shenichnas l'medina, amar lahem emlok. This whole same metaphor that we had about coming to a country, establishing a ruler, and the whole premise of the Mechilta was, first you have to establish that relationship, then you can accept sovereignty and malchus, and only then afterwards you accept gzeros. That's the Ramban's proof that Anochi should be included as a mitzvah. Now, what's shocking about this? What's shocking is if you turn back to source number 7 that we saw a moment ago, how did the Ramban use the Mechilta there? The Ramban used the Mechilta to defend the Bahag. He's taking the same exact source, okay? Admittedly different paragraphs of the source. But he's taking the same source of the Mechilta, and first he's using it as a proof that it's not a mitzvah, right? First you have to accept sovereignty, and only then afterwards can you have gzeros and mitzvos. And then, just a little bit later, in Lo Sa'aseh He, in source number 10, the Ramban turns around, he takes the same source and presents it as a proof to his own position, to the Rambam's position, that it should be included as a mitzvah. And one has to wonder, how can the same source, within the same thinker, within the Ramban, be on the one hand presented as proof that it's not a mitzvah, and on the other hand, presented as proof to the very opposite conclusion, that it indeed is a mitzvah.
One can say that indicates that it may serve both purposes, because it wasn't stated in the sense that it's keep, understand, I ordered you to believe in God. It's stated first in the sense of what I give you.
Correct.
And how I help you in a way that you know, not that I created the universe.
Right, again, so that's,
and,
that, right.
On the other hand, it is included in this, in that listing, and it could also be not only an idea, but also a mitzvah.
But how can the same, I agree with everything you're saying, but how can the same source be used as a proof both for and against? Right? The challenge is the Mechilta.
It wasn't the first time. Change of language. It's not given in the language of a tzivui, a command, but rather as a principle to understand above all other knowledge. And then it was so...
Again, fully agreed. But for me, what still troubles me is the fact that the Ramban is taking, again, the very same Mechilta, right? Not the pasuk itself. The Mechilta, the Medrash, and seems to be cutting it both ways as a proof both for and against the Bach. Again, it's different sections in the Mechilta, but he's using it both for and against.
It was a Havamim the first time trying to rationalize what the Bach said.
But the logic has to make sense. In other words, fair enough. You have a Havamina that you reject. That happens all the time. But to use the very same source as your proof for your Havamina and then as your rejection as your Havamina, how can it be? I think in order to resolve this, we need to try to achieve a better understanding of what exactly this mitzvah is. For those who maintain that it is a mitzvah, what is the character of this mitzvah? It sounds pretty simple. Believe in God. But does that mean the same thing for everyone? And if not, what does it mean for different Ba'alei HaMasorah, for different thinkers, and for different rabbinic figures through our Masorah? Here, turn for a moment back to source number 6. Let's look at the Rambam's description of this mitzvah. If you remember what we were looking at in source number 6, the Rambam had a very heavily philosophical and theological description of this mitzvah. It's about belief. And it's about belief in certain philosophical truths pertaining to the nature and essence of God. Yesod ha-yesodos amra chachmos leida sheyeshe matzai rishon. Humamzi kol nimtza. It's about this primordial existence. Right? God is a primordial existence, a necessary existence. He has always existed. He will always exist. His existence is necessary. We cannot conceive of a universe in which his existence does not obtain. Humamzi kol nimtza. His existence achieves all other contingent existence. Again, you see from the very outset, the Rambam is engaged in a heavily philosophical description of belief that for him constitutes the core of the mitzvah. And he spends 5 halachos talking about different philosophical truths that one must believe. He goes into halacha vav and says, knowing this is a mitzvah saseh. And he spends much the rest of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah describing further philosophical beliefs that one must have in order to properly understand the Ribono Shel Olam and properly believe in him. For the Rambam, this mitzvah is rooted in philosophical truths and philosophical belief. By contrast, look at the way the Ramban describes the mitzvah. We already started seeing this in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos. But let's take a look now where he goes even further. Take a look at the Ramban in source number 11. This is the Ramban's commentary on Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And here he says as follows, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hadibur hazeh mitzvas aseh. This dibur is a mitzvas aseh, in accordance with his opinion, like the Rambam, that it should be counted as a mitzvah. Amar anochi Hashem. Hashem tells us, I am Hashem, your God. Yorev yitzave osam sheyedu v'yaaminu ki yesh Hashem. Here the Ramban, we should pay attention to the language here. Yedu v'yaaminu. We're already sensitive to those two verbs because the Rambam alternately employed one or the other in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mishnah Torah. We must know and believe that there is a God. Hu elokim lahem. And he is God to them. And now let's take a look at his description. Second line of source number 11. Kilomar hove kadmon me osaya hakol b'chevetz v'yecholas. He exists. He is the primordial existence. From him, all else exists. So far, the language is quite similar to what we saw in the Rambam, right? This primordial existence from which all other existence stems. But now, the Ramban goes further. Take a look at the first bold passage of source number 11. V'hu elokim lahem. And furthermore, he is God for them. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, not just Elokim, I am your God. Shechayavim la'avod osel. That you are obligated to serve him. For the Ramban is not just an abstract philosophical truth, it's a relationship. It's a relationship that indicates that belief in Hashem means that he is our God as well, and that defines a ruler-subject relationship. We must serve him. Similar to what the Ramban said in his commentary in the Sefer HaMitzvos, this is part of what? Kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. It's not just belief in a primordial creator. It's creating a relationship with him in which we are subservient to him. Continuing the Ramban, after that first bold passage. Now he comments on the fact that the Torah mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim rather than creation of the heavens and the earth, rather than creation of existence itself. Why? Third line of source number 11 after the comma, kihotza asa misham Torah ala mitzios v'ala chefetz ki yabiyadia uvehashkacha mimenu yatzanu misham. He says the fact that we left Mitzrayim doesn't just show that Hashem is a creator, that he is the source of all existence, but it shows other things. It shows the divine will, that he has invested interest in the Jewish people, and taking them out of bondage and slavery and delivering them redemption. The Ramban here begins to discuss divine providence, God's role in orchestrating human affairs and his involvement in the universe. These are things that the Rambam didn't discuss. These are other features that the Rambam certainly believes in. He says, if you'd ask the Rambam, does Hashem involve himself in world affairs? The Rambam would certainly tell you yes. The degree of Hashgacha is famously a debate among the Rishonim. But the Rambam would agree to these ideas, but he didn't include them in the belief of God itself. For the Rambam, was philosophical truth. What is the Ramban talking about here? He's talking about a God that is, in a sense, personal, that has a relationship with you, that's interested in human affairs, that's taking interest in the Jewish people, that took you out of Mitzrayim. Take a look at what he says in the next paragraph, the second paragraph, source number 11. V'ta'am mibeis avadim, why is slavery referenced as well? Shayu omdim b'mitzrayim b'beis avadim, shvuyim l'paro, because they were indeed slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. V'amar lahem, bold passage. Se'ashahim chayavin sh'yiyah Hashem agadol v'anichbar v'anor azeh lochem le'lokim. He says, this obligation that you have, that Hashem should be your God, she'ya'av duhu, that you must serve him, yupada osa me'avdos Mitzrayim, ketam avadayhem asher otzesi osa me'eres Mitzrayim. The Torah is directly, deliberately referencing the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to formulate, again, a kind of relationship that exists between the Jewish people and Hashem. It's not just that he created the entire world and you must believe in some abstract theological, philosophical sense in his existence. Recognize that there's a relationship here. I took you out of Mitzrayim, Bes Avadim, you should serve me. I took you out of servitude to Paro. If you look at the Rambam in source number 12, the Rambam counts Kabbalah's Almach HaShemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, separately from Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Source number 12 is Sefer HaMitzvos LaRambam, Asay Beis. It is the second mitzvah of the Sefer HaMitzvos, not the first of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And it's there that the Rambam says, in the bold passage of source number 10, V'yikru gam kein zos HaMitzvah Malchus. The mitzvah here is believing in the oneness of Hashem, what he calls Yichud Hashem. And what is this also called? It's also called Malchus. And then the very last line there, after the period in the bold passage, Kihem Yomru Kedai Lekabel Alav Ol Malchus Shamayim. This is where he describes Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, which is what we do when we recite Kriya Shema. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, Rutzim Lomar Lehodos B'Yichud L'Ha'amino, belief in Yichud Hashem and the oneness of Hashem is a separate mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The Ramban is defining a separate mitzvah from the Rambam in a certain sense. They both believe that it is a mitzvah, but the content and contours of the mitzvah are radically different. For the Rambam, it's philosophical belief. For the Ramban, it's entering into a kind of covenantal relationship with the master of the universe. We find this subtly in the Sefer HaChinuch as well. We won't go through the entire Sefer HaChinuch, but let's just look at the bold passages of source number 13. He starts by saying there's a mitzvah of belief. He too starts with a similar language to the Rambam, the philosophical language of the Rambam about existence. He adds in bold over there, V'nasan lanu HaTorah. Sefer HaChinuch says part of the mitzvah of belief is not just belief that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He says part of taking us out of Mitzrayim is the giving of the Torah. Once again, linking belief in Hashem to the Taryag mitzvahs, to the mitzvahs that we observe, and saying that is part of the belief as well. He goes on to talk about, in the second paragraph, we don't need to read this inside, but this is a common theme of the Sefer HaChinuch. He says that part of the mitzvah is reinforcing belief for yourself, acting in a way that that indicates that you believe. For the Sefer HaChinuch, one of the major themes of the Sefer HaChinuch is that our actions impact our inner emotions, our inner psychological constitution, and the way we think. If you want to just believe something, how do you just snap your fingers and make yourself believe something? He says you engage in activities that reinforce your belief, and that will impact your inner constitution and your inner feeling about things. It's a psychological insight that I think was way ahead of its time, but it's certainly acknowledged as widely acknowledged as true, that our activities will impact our inner constitution. And he says one should conduct oneself in a way that reinforces faith to internalize and sensitize oneself to those beliefs and to that relationship with Hashem. Yeah.
Represented, and by saying, I know that Hashem will give, it's
It's a very nice observation. I'm not sure I would consider it anachronistic. I think the principle itself, even if I think this is also implicit in your point, even if governmental systems didn't operate on that model back then, the notion of having justification for accepting sovereignty is rather intuitive. In other words, it's intuitive. You might say it's intuitive to us, but perhaps not intuitive to them. Right. Right. But in that sense, I think your point is still well taken. In other words, then it presents a powerful foil, if you will, a powerful polar opposite to the model that they were used to in Mitzrayim,
which represents
the relationship between. It's a nice observation. Yeah.
But we were told Na'aseh v'nishma.
Correct.
Do, and then it's
well, we said Na'aseh v'nishma. We said
not,
right.
I'm saying it doesn't mean we can't do the laws without believing. We could. I always thought that you could doubt Hashem, but you should do the laws.
But we believe.
And grow into that.
I think you have to be careful with how you formulate it here. It's certainly true. I think. Mindy, you're in good standing. Don't worry. I think it's certainly true to say that one can lead a life of faith, albeit with questions. I think anyone who tells you that a life of faith means that you have to have an answer to every single question is wrong. I think that's incorrect. That doesn't mean that we license just, hey, maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't, right?
No, I don't mean that way. I meant that the more you do the mitzvah, and the more you learn, the more your belief is.
That's precisely the point of the Sefer HaChinuch. Na'aseh v'nishma, that often our activities can actually impact our inner constitution, right? That there's a reciprocal relation. And then it's taken even further in some of the Achronim, and some of the more contemporary commentaries. We'll close with the Sefarno and Rav Hirsch. Take a look at the Sefarno. Again, we'll look at the bold passage here. He's on the term Elokecha. We'll start from the third line of source number 14. Elokecha, umekayim ani mashiki balta alecha, lichios Elokecha. We were talking about the fact that it's limiting, right? That he says, I am Hashem, your God. And he says it in the singular form. I am Hashem, who you accepted upon yourself to be your God, bilti emsa'i, the Sefarno says, without any intermediary. It's a direct relationship between me and you. Don't think that you need some kind of intermediary to serve as a bridge, artificial bridge between the divine and Klal Yisrael. Ulochein li levadi tespalav osita avod. He references tefillah. The fact that you're able to dialogue with Hashem on a daily basis, engage in direct dialogue with him, speak to him directly, that is part of, for the Sefarno, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now again, for the Rambam, what does one have to do with the other? One is about just belief and abstract faith. The other is a relationship rooted in tefillah. But for the Sefarno, they're the same, biltishum emtsa'i, without any intermediary. And perhaps that explains why the Ramban is, perhaps, and this is something that again, I refer to, so I once suggested in passing, that perhaps that explains why the Ramban is able to use the Mechilta as a question on the Rambam, on the one hand, but as a proof to his Anochi Hashem Elokecha on the other. When it comes to just abstract belief, the implication of the Mechilta is, abstract belief is not a mitzvah itself. It precedes mitzvahs themselves. It's something distinct. It's something separate. But if Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not just abstract belief, but as the Ramban himself argues, and again, as it's taken further by the Sefarno and subsequent commentaries, the Sefer HaChinuch, it's more than that. It's accepting a relationship. It's actively engaging in the relationship. It's renewing, or in the case of Klal Yisrael in Har Sinai, initiating for the first time a covenantal relationship that's going to last for eternity. That's more than just abstract belief, and that is an act described by the Mechilta as something proactive. You are accepting upon yourself that relationship with Hashem. You are accepting, you're not just believing in his existence in the abstract. You are entering that relationship, and that is something that is worthy of inclusion as a mitzvah. And let me conclude with the commentary of Rav Hirsch on this mitzvah, which I think really, again, it really articulates it in quite poignant terms. Rav Hirsch, source 15. We have already noted several times the fine distinction between Anochi and Ani. Two different words. It doesn't say Ani Hashem Elokecha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So what is the difference between those? Especially in God's speech. Second line of source 15. Ani denotes the personality of the speaker in opposition to the one addressed. It denotes the personality as the source of speech and action. Ani from the root Ana. You can question the particular etymology of Rav Hirsch, but he's saying it's an oppositional relationship. It's me as opposed to you. Anochi, on the other hand, reveals the speaker as a personality who is intimately close to the one addressed, a personality who encompasses, bears, and supports the one addressed, and through whom alone the one addressed truly gets his personal existence and secure standing. It's a term that indicates a relationship. Returning to the language of Leida, Yidia, that was known by the Rambam, very often in the Torah's context, Yidia refers to an intimate knowledge, an intimate relationship. Soloveitchik felt that perhaps that's part of what Anochi Hashem Elokecha is as well. Not just belief in an abstract sense, but an intimate knowledge of God in the sense of a relationship. It's paragraph number 2. How awesome is the majesty of this event? In the midst of nature's upheaval, with the foundations of the earth quaking, God proclaims himself as the sole, true, and absolute personality, the Anochi of the universe, through whom alone all other being exists, in potentiality and in actuality. God then immediately turns to each individual Jew and says, I am your Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. If the verse is not to be taken as a declaration, but as a mitzvah, a commandment, the view of the Rambam, the view of the Ramban, it does not mean, I Hashem am your God, but I Hashem shall be your God, emphasis in the original. Thus it lays the basis for our entire relationship to God, constituting the duty that our sages call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. He's expanding on the view of the Ramban that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim is part of this mitzvah. Accepting the yoke of God's kinship. Yoke is a slight typo there. Fourth paragraph. What the philosophers ancient and modern call the belief in the existence of God is as remote as can be from the meaning of this verse regarding the foundations of Jewish thought and Jewish life. A very strong statement. The fundamental truth of Jewish life is not belief in God's existence, nor that God is one and only one. It's not Yediyas Abore, that God exists, or even Yichud Hashem, the belief in monotheism, a monotheistic God. It is rather that the one and only God, the God of truth, is my God. He created and formed me, gave me my standing, informed me of my duty, and he continues to create me and to form me, to keep me, to guide me, and to lead me. My belief is not that my connection to him is through an endless chain of events as a chance product of a universe of which he was the first cause eons ago. That's a reference to the Aristotelian view. Rather, my belief is that every breath that I take and every moment of my existence is a direct gift of his power and love, and that my duty is to devote every moment of my life to his service alone. In other words, the essential thing is not the knowledge of God's existence, but the awareness and the acknowledgement that he is my God, that my fate is in his hands alone, that he alone establishes the work of my hands. Corresponding to the command, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there is but one response. Ata Elokai, you are indeed my God. When you take the words of Rav Hirsch, to me that's a very powerful statement about what this first of the Aseres HaDibros is truly all about. What this foundation of all the Taryag Mitzvos, whether it be in the sense of the Bahag of being foundational and preceding all the Taryag Mitzvos, or being the first of the Taryag Mitzvos, it sets a tone for what the entire experience of Torah and Matan Torah, which we will soon celebrate, is truly all about. It's about that personal relationship. They say very often, there's like a joke in among modern Orthodox rabbis, that modern Orthodox rabbis like to talk about any topic except for one thing, God. That's the one thing that they're not allowed to talk about. And the truth is, there is a measure of truth to that. Sometimes God seems so abstract or distant, it's so far from the day-to-day nitty-gritty of our lives, that we don't talk about it enough, that we don't talk about his existence in just the most basic and simple sense, in the sense of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. But when viewed through the prism of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Sefarno Rav Hirsch, it's a critical reality that we must seek to implement in our lives. The recognition that Hashem is indeed our God, that we experience him in a personal way, that we have a covenantal relationship with him, that we have a personal relationship with him. That is the core of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and indeed constitutes the foundation of Torah as a whole.